powered from the Perdomo Cigars Studios Black Stage in Indian Trail, North Carolina, and broadcasting from California. It's episode 145 of the Primetime Show. And tonight we welcome back Rafael Nodel of Talapacara USA and Boutique Blend Cigars for an evening of cigar talk. And as always, the Primetime Show is sponsored by Saga Cigars. De Los Reyes Cigars introduces another chapter of the Saga Soles. Soles is a Spanish word that means leisure after work. In the spirit of the standing ideal of owning your own journey and making your own saga, the Saga Soles is a perfect companion to enrich those moments of choice, making them truly yours. The Saga Soles carries a blend of Criollo, Olor, and Piloto Cubano wrapped in a selected Ecuador shade Claro that generously delivers with elegance a surprisingly rich and balanced smoke. It's available in three sizes at an affordable price. Ask for your retailer for Saga Soles. And by Perdomo Cigars. Awarded Nicaraguan Cigar of the Year in 2014 by Cigar Journal, the Perdomo 20th Anniversary brand has consistently earned the highest scores in the industry and is a top seller in humidors around the world. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary blend requires tobaccos that have been carefully hand-selected and are well-aged for a minimum of 8 years. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary is offered in three distinct wrappers, a smooth, creamy Ecuadorian Connecticut, a rich, earthy Cuban seed Nicaraguan Sungrown, and a dark, oily Cuban seed Nicaraguan Maduro. Combining these beautifully bourbon barrel-aged wrappers with thick, high-priming binder and filler tobaccos gives each blend a balanced complexity with layers of rich flavors and smooth, elegant aromas. Perdomo Cigars is a family-owned and operated company headquartered in Miami, Florida, with manufacturing and agricultural facilities in Esteli, Nicaragua. Perdomo's highly acclaimed cigar brands include the Perdomo Estate Selección Vintage, the Perdomo Double Aged 12-Year Vintage, the Perdomo 20th Anniversary, the Perdomo Reserve 10th Anniversary Champagne, Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Aged, Perdomo Lot 23, and many more. For great tasting notes and pairing information, check out the new Perdomo website at www.perdomocigars.com. And by Miami Cigars. Nestor Miranda said it best, there is a mystery and depth to Africa that captivates my spirit, always drawing me back. This cigar, Don Lino Africa, captures the way going there makes me feel. Cigar making is an art form, but in the moment when the cigar becomes art itself, you have something special. Don Lino Africa returns from Miami Cigar & Company. The blend you remember blended even more masterfully this time in partnership with Tabacalera A.J. Fernandez. An exotic and complex blend meant to mesmerize. It's available in five Box West Vitolas. Don Lino Africa returns. Ask for it at your local retailer. And finally, by Drew Estate. Check out and download the Drew Diplomat app for your mobile device. Keep up with everything going on Drew Estate. Experience the subculture that is the rebirth of cigars. It's available on iTunes and Google Play. For more information, check out www.drewdiplomat.com. And as always, all the live streaming of the Primetime shows is sponsored exclusively by Drew Estate. Well, welcome, everybody. This is Primetime episode 145 for this Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. This is Will Cooper. I'm in the Perdomo Cigar Studios on the Black Stage, and I'm joined all the way cross country in California by my friend and colleague, Mr. Aaron Loomis.
How you doing tonight, Will?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing fantastic.
Yeah. It's been a little bit of, I'm in vacation mode technically already. At least day job vacation mode. So I'm kind of happy right now. I'm kind of, it's a staycation obviously. But, you know, I was kind of a little bummed because, you know, 1 year ago was like, we were just getting out of the trade show. You know, so, it's, there's definitely a void, I think, for sure. We're not all together this year. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's been, man, it's been a bunch of years since we've been together at the same time every year. And it's just like this, now you have to miss it. So
yeah,
definitely you feel like there's like a little, it's a odd space.
Yeah. I know we were, I think we were toying at one point with the idea of going to Vegas anyway, right?
Yeah.
Before Vegas closed down. I think we were saying, well, let's just go to Vegas anyway. Well, if there's no show, right. But then Vegas closed down and it wasn't going to really work out at that point.
Yeah, it's just too risky. I think it's not worth trying to do that. Well, you know,
we could
wait another year or 9 months or whatever we want to do.
Hopefully January comes back around again is the question.
Yeah.
And whether we stay or whether we media compound, I think we'll know that in the upcoming weeks, I guess, is what's going to happen with that. It was definitely I was kind of a little bummed all week, but going through the pictures and everything was kind of cool. So I had that bear sentimental moment though a few times this week. So no, but at least everyone's healthy and safe here.
Yep.
All right. So without further ado, let's welcome in our special guest. He is the director of product capability for Tabacalera USA, and he's the owner of Boutique Blend Cigars. He's the one and only Rafael Nodal. Rafael, welcome back to Primetime.
Will, thank you very much. And Aaron, how you guys doing? Thank you. Thank you for having me here. Fantastic evening. Close to the holidays, starting the weekend for 4th of July. Fantastic weekend. You're on vacation. I've been watching some of your pictures. It's great. It's great to relax. But you're right. This is a time that we would have been together. Everybody gets together and gets to see. And I also like to say, welcome. It's watching, obviously, some of our friends. Alan Rubin is over here. And it's not every day that you get one of your attorneys, the FDA attorney, watching the show. So Beth Oliva is in the house. Thank you, Beth, all the way from New Jersey. Beth, you're doing some fantastic cooking during this time. It's very inspiring. Guys, I've been cooking a lot during this time. I'm not sure that I gained some weight or not. I am sure I am, but I haven't weighed myself. But I have to tell you, I really enjoyed cooking during this time and really trying different things that I never tried before. So it really been a fun time. I mean, I always believe in making the best out of it. So this is it. We have to make the best out of it.
Oh, exactly, Rafael. I totally agree with that. I've been following following your journey with that as well. I know you know food. I mean, we had that great steak dinner at TPE.
That's right. I know you go. And by the way, I look at the pictures the other day, and you are absolutely correct. Looking at the pictures, it's like reliving those moments. So I look at some picture of all sitting in that fantastic restaurant there with some nice steak, some great ham, some fantastic wine, your blue shirt, things like that.
Oh, the blue shirt that I got steak grease on, yeah.
But isn't it fun to look back at and really relieve those moments? I really do that a lot. I don't know about you guys. I don't know, Aaron, do you and the same thing, Will? I look at the pictures back many years and really like being there again, right?
Yep, exactly.
It really was. And Rafael, it's kind of ironic. One of the viewers who's in the room is a guy by the name of Scott Cunius. He used to work over at the Outland Cigars. He's the one who first introduced me to King Habano.
No kidding.
Yeah, so he worked there. He managed the store, and I remember he handed me one of the little short ones, the jester size.
The jester. It was like a knob type.
Yeah, it was like a knob. And it was Scott who introduced me to your brand. I remember I went in there, and I remember distinctly, I went in there on a weekday night. I'd been somewhere for my day job. It was like 8 o'clock, and I walked in. He said, you got to try this cigar. And, Scott's in the room tonight. So, again, just kind of reminiscing about that. That's going back to 2008, I believe, we're looking at.
Yeah, it was. Yes, and you know what? Last year, one of my tours, and I'm not sure what store it was, but I do believe it was in California, in the Oakland area. I don't remember the actual name of the store right now, but I was one store visiting, and the owner told me, listen, I found this box a few days ago, and I wanted you to show it to you. And it was one of the Black Knights of the King Habano box press.
Yeah.
And so I offered to purchase it. It didn't allow me to purchase. It did open and give me two cigars. And I have to tell you, it's great tobacco age fantastic, right? So good tobacco gets better with time. But so as I look back in the journey, right, of how long has it taken and throughout the metaphors that I, things that have changed with the Oliveros, with the flavors, the Oliveros, the King Habano, I even had one before that, Habana Cuba Premier Selection. And it's fun to look back at the journey, and it's been long, it's been difficult sometimes, but along the way, I met so many great people that I stayed there for, friends for a long time. And remember you meeting you in Tom's store When I was visiting, I did an event there at the private club, with the club on the side with Scott Wicks. And I remember that day. And I had the Oliveros Excels and all these things. It was, do you remember what year was that?
It was, I think it was 2009, because I had moved to Charlotte in 08. That's when Scott introduced me to the brand. And I think you came in around Valentine's Day in 2009, because I remember that I was at that event before Valentine's Day.
Well, you always remember those events. I can tell you, I remember those days in Valentine's, because my wife always remind me that, yeah, hey, you're not here another year. But yeah, it's been a long journey. But one that I really enjoy. I met some, you know, you are in the Perdomo, in Perdomo Studios, Black Studio today, and you talk a little bit before about the different ones, but he's introducing this new one, the 10th anniversary Perdomo, who has the look of La Tradición, right? The Perdomo,
yeah,
La Tradición, which he did, I think 2016, he relaunched that. And what an amazing cigar. I remember that was the first cigar that I had, and that's why I got into the cigar industry. So, you know, I always look forward to everything that Perdomo does. As a matter of fact, I tried to buy it, and I haven't been able to get my hands on one yet, the Perdomo Firecracker. Hopefully, you know, I have some friends that perhaps can send me some. But I always look forward to those things.
Yeah. In fact, Nick handed us some of those, that Maduro and that Sun Grown, when I was on the factory tour in February, and they were really good, what he had given us, both the Sun Grown and the Maduro. So they were. I think people are going to be really happy with those. I was very impressed with those cigars.
Oh, Bill and Aaron, thank you for having me back. But I have to tell you, I feel like part of the family, because I watch your show. You guys know,
yes,
I always put some comments and things like that. And someone the other day, a good friend that also look at the show, watch the show, and he said, "Do you have no life? You go to any show?" And I said, "Yeah, I practically have no life. You're right."
Yeah. So, yeah, Rafi, I just want to also mention thank you as well for the support of the show as well, because we're going to be we're doing a series of giveaways. We normally do them on Tuesdays, but since you're on the show, we're going to give away this travel humidor and Torchlighter branded with Romeo y Julieta. So when we start talking about Romeo y Julieta, I'll put a question out there and folks can enter to win. These are valued at $60. These are a really nice set here. We've got a nice audience response on the Tuesday show. Rafael, the other ironic thing I just want to – and I kind of – Bear's the guy who's really into the numbers on our show, but it's the 145th anniversary of Romeo y Julieta. That's 145th show. That was totally coincidence, actually.
So. Unbelievable. When you were looking at the number, when you were saying the number for 145th episode, and I thought of that, because we thought of doing a 145th anniversary and things like that. And at the end, we decided not to. We are launching another fantastic Romeo and Juliet later on, not too far from now. We decided not to do the anniversary part. But yeah, what a coincidence. And 145, yeah. By the way, congratulations. 145 of anything, right? Of anything. It's a lot. And I know that the work that goes into, as you know, we did some live in some of our channels that we have in social media, in Facebook, at the Cigar Life, and some in our other channels. And let me tell you, what a hard job. I have so much respect for you guys, and to do this every week. And, you know, it's, I don't know how you do it, guys. It's a lot of work.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's I think it's a little different for us, because this is, in terms of our involvement in the cigar industry, this is kind of like the primary thing we do. You guys have so many other responsibilities that I think, you know, you did a very good job. I watched the marathon. I was on one of your shows, and then I watched that marathon show you did. I thought you were going to go for like the record, the 24-hour record.
I know you did something very, very long as well. And we said, you know, I'm a very competitive person. And I said, you know, oh my God, a marathon, someone did it long, how many hours? And I said, like, white. There's no way. And let me tell you, I have so much respect because you know that everything can go wrong, normally goes wrong, especially with the guests and the sound. So you get some people, with, you know, hey, you turn this. And in our case, we did it, we prepared and all this, you know, but we didn't, from the time we thought of an idea to the time we came, we executed, it was a week, 7 days. And in that time, we got everybody together and this and that. And let me tell you, it's a lot of work, and I have a tremendous respect. And you know, we just did it during this time. We wanted to communicate with the consumers on these very difficult times. But we did not continue doing it because I want to leave that for the professional, right? So it is. I see some people that are still doing it, and they continue doing it. And let me just tell you that you guys are professional. And we are professional at something else and making cigars and selling cigars. And that's it. That's our job. This is your job. And let me tell you, we work hard. Our job is hard. And you know, it's not easy, but we enjoy it. But when I did something that you guys done, I said, wow, how can these people do it every week? And you know, it's crazy.
It's you get used to it. but like I said, this is you did very good, Rafael. The production was very good. I enjoyed when we had that show, and I think you did very well. So I give you very high marks on that.
But I have a lot of experience because I watch all of you shows, or most of it, not all, but most of it, which I enjoy. And because it truly, you get a lot of information. So just recently, you have Perdomo, which I enjoy all the questions. And then you have last week, I believe, Ernesto Perez Carrillo, which is one of my idols and a good friend. And, you know, so when you get someone in this situation at night, talking, relaxing, or when you had Lito Gomez, that was an amazing show, especially because Lito doesn't do a lot of these things, right? I remember when I used to have a store in Miami Lakes, and Lito Gomez came and did an event. It was many, many years ago, and Lito didn't do this type of events because Lito is a very private person.
Yep.
And you learn so much from these people. I love what you guys do and the questions and the things. And for the Nestor Perez Carrillo show that you did, you guys did, you knew everything. I think he mentioned, and Nestor mentioned, hey, you know more than I do because, you know, we tend to forget some of these things, right? And it was fun. I enjoy listening to you guys because it's really not only entertainment, which I value these days a lot more than perhaps before, but education, right? Education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's if you know, this is how I take it, is I do the shows, I learn something from doing the shows. If I'm helping someone learn something along the way, that's fine. But I've learned a lot, that's for sure. Just all around.
And you had David Garofalo for God's sake. You had Dave that I listen to Dave every week, and then you put him in the other side, and you ask him the questions and the books and the things. So it is. It's a fantastic time. I tell all our employees that you want to learn about cigars. Take your time to tune in Cigar Coop, and you can learn not only about cigar, which is very important, but it also learn about our industry and our lifestyle, right? It is very different.
Absolutely. Rafael, since we had you on the show last time, there's been a few things that have happened, I think, that are very noteworthy. Let's kind of kick it off. Since you were on the show, you've taken home a big prize, a number one cigar of the year from Cigar Aficionado. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Will, for really believing on this, right? Because I remember that day, you know, I remember you having a show that day. You did a live show that day, and you said, or the day before or something.
The day before.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's no way. I mean, you know, forget it. This is out. And man, it hurt me. It's like, oh, my God. But by the way, so did many close friends of mine. Eh? But hey, that's life. But you know, I yeah. That, thank you. That's certainly a great accomplishment. Not only for me and the face and the one that goes and talk, but it's a team that goes behind this, right? And we do it in Tabacalera and our boutique blend the team as well. The Hank, is an amazing part of this. Everybody but Altadis USA and Tabacalera has been an amazing support and team. And by the way, Hochi Blanco, or my partner Hochi, which none of these could have started, right, without him. So I do appreciate every single person that from the beginning, he believed in me.
No, I know. Yeah, I know. I remember when you started working with Hochi on the first aging room, and you know that really kind of was what made people take notice of you.
Right. Because you know, I was in the cigar. I love the cigar. I really did it wrong, business wise, the cigar, right? And because I went with idea, this is very easy to do it. I saw how other people did it, and I, you know. You guys from the outside make it look so good and so easy, right? This is very easy. I have met Nick. That's how I got into the cigar industry. Hank told me, it took me to Little Havana. I bought my first box of cigar. I smoked my first cigar with Nick, with Al, with his brother-in-law, with Michael. I met the whole family. I met it that day. But that day, I smoked my first cigars. I went that evening to my house and I told my wife, I am going into the cigar business. That's how pumped, because Nick has such a, by the way, he has mellowed out right now a little bit, eh? But Nick has such such an enthusiasm, right, for what he does. And it was contagious. It's like a virus. I went that evening and said, that's it. That's what I know I'm going to do the rest of my life. I didn't say, I'm going to do it and see if it works. I said, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. In one day that I met this guy, right? It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's really good. You know, by the way, Alan Rubin, also, I should say this. Yes, he did predict you were going to get number one cigar.
Alan,
he really did predict that. Even when it was on the show that night, I said, it's not happening because the H. Upman got number 10. So Alan did, he did say that. I got to say that. And I told him he was wrong too. And usually Alan finds a way to be right more than me. So.
Oh, thank you. And by the way, Scott Alexander that is watching, I said about my story for coming to America. One of the things that I really enjoy when you told me the day, right, July 2nd, and I know it was right before the weekend, July 3rd and 4th, and I celebrate few days that are very important to me, and one is when I arrived, you know, to this country, May 31st, so that's my 40 years, this last May 31st, and then 4th of July for me is an amazing, right? What an amazing occasion. We are going now through difficult times in this country, but I'm amazingly optimistic because I believe in the American dream. I believe in the American experiment, and American is what a country. Not perfect, and we see that every day, but I can tell you there is the best that it can be anywhere else. And so when you told me about July 2nd, right before the celebration, because for me, this year we will not be able to do it because of this virus thing. But I throw such a great parties on July 4th. It's for me. I get all my friends, my family. For me, it's like a Christmas, like New Year's. It's an important day. So thank you for having me here. It's basically, you are in a vacation, Will. You say you are in vacation mood. I am really in the 4th of July mood. Eh?
Raphael, I know we were talking about this when I did your show. Is it true you were in the dentist chair and missed the call from aficionado that you got the cigar of the year?
No, I was not at the dentist. I was not at the dentist. I was in the surgeon.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Which I'll see him tomorrow because he happens to be a friend. He happens to be the brother of Nestor Plasencia, an amazing cigar guy. And I just had a few days before, I had a hernia operation, and I went that day. I was scheduled to have a follow-up, and I was so nervous, and I said, you know what, I'll continue to do my daily routine of what I expected. I'm not sure that it was going to win. It's very difficult. I got the number 10. That was amazing. We got the number 10. It was the first one they gave. It's an A. Shortman 175th anniversary. And then I said, wow, so fantastic, very happy. And then I said, wow, then it's difficult, you know. I was in the surgeon that day, and when his secretary came to the office, inside to the room, he was actually checking me right at the moment. He was holding my thing, and the secretary said, excuse me, doctor, Rafael's been getting so many calls, and your brother's on the line, and Carlos Padron, one that worked with him for a long time, his attorney and business partner, hey, he's on the phone. I said, okay. So he was telling me this while I, you know, have my, it's very, you know, amazing.
Right. Oh, that's a good story, though. Good story. The other thing, Rafael, that has happened is, I guess it's a pretty significant thing, that a lot of folks will want to know, or actually do know, is that Imperial, the parent company, completed the sale of the premium cigar division. So how is that? What's the state of things right now in the company now that transaction has been completed? And what's going on in terms internally now? You could
sell. Yeah, well, Imperial announced the sale. Sale will happen now. The final part will happen. We are extremely excited about this. So the way it works, the company, as you know, the United States, Tabacalera USA, that includes three big pillars that we have, the JR cigars. Alta JR also has Santa Clara, where our friend Alan is works, and then you have Alta de USA, and you have Casa de Monte Cristo, and so all of that is a United States operation of Tabacalera USA, and we're part of Tabacalera in Europe, and Tabacalera, the whole thing was sold. And we are extremely excited because Imperial, which is a fantastic company, and it's a cigarette company, and it's a mass market company, and they wanted, although the premium cigar has been performing fantastically, you know, keep in mind when they bought the company many years ago, it included many other brands like Bacchus, like Jave Tampa, like some of these other fantastic mass market brands. That were Philips and many others. They were separated, and that went to the mass market division. So we have been concentrated, excuse me, in the premium division. So as a premium division, we are extremely happy to be now independent of that, because our goal is to make the best cigar we can, right? And dedication to premium cigars, and that's. And now we have Tabacalera de Garcia, which the sale will complete, according to what they said, it became public, it will be completely later on. And we have Tabacalera Flor de Copan, an amazing factory celebrating 44 years in Honduras. So that is all part now of the same family. And we're extremely, extremely happy because we just have amazing brands, right? You mentioned Romeo and Juliet 145th anniversary, A. Shortman 176th anniversary, the Monte Cristo from 1935, and it's just amazing brands, amazing iconic brands.
Very true. In terms of, like you mentioned, Tabacalera in Europe, they have Vega Fina. Is there any impact? I know there's been some Vega Finas we've had over here. Would anything change with that, given the way that the split happened, or no?
You know, no. We are continuing with Vega Fina, which is our global brand, right?
Besides the
Cuban cigar. And I'm going to take this opportunity to give a little heads up. And this is news. We have not disclosed this, and this was going to be said later on. maybe a month or for now or something was going to become public. But I owe you guys a lot, and you invited me for it. You're like, so in your show, I want to say that we are launching very soon, the end of August, beginning of September, we're launching Vega Fina 1998 in United States, which is an amazing brand that celebrates the beginning of Vega Fina. And we are finally launching that in United States. It was going to be now sooner, but because of the show, but because of all the delays, right, with the show during this time, and then us not going to the show, and then this time the COVID-19, but we're going to be launching that. So our goal in the Vega Fina is now we're going to introduce the 1998, and then we're going to align our strategy, global strategy of Vega Fina. So when you have a release, it's going to be internationally, and it's going to align those two strategies to be a true global brand.
Nice.
That's great news. You know, it was funny because there were a couple of Vega Fina 1998s floating around Pro Cigar. So I'm like, yeah.
I know, because listen, that's an amazing brand, right?
It is.
For the first time last year in April at our Tabacalera global meeting. In Seville. I mean, Seville. This is where the whole tobacco thing started. The older cigar factory there, which at the time had over 10,000 cigar rollers. It's amazing. So there we had last year, and I tested it for the first time. We are now that I'm in marketing with Altadis USA as well. We are dedicated to really make Vega Fina a global brand, and part of that has to be our dedication in United States to the brand. So we're pretty excited about that.
Excellent news to hear. So that's pretty exciting. Like I said, I've had a lot of affinity with the Vega Fina brand. So
I know you do, and I know. And actually, last year we got one of the top 25. The top 25 with the Vega Fina, right? And we received, you brought it to the show last year.
Yep.
And we really appreciate it. It's in the office. And so we're very excited about that. That's a very excited brand.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Aaron liked that cigar too. If Aaron will like a cigar, we always kid him about that.
I wish more came to the States.
Yeah, that's
well, what now you will have it. Now make sure you get some, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's funny because Aaron and I sometimes are polar opposite on some stuff, but that one we were like all in sync with. Like, this is a really good cigar. And
It is. And listen, Pedro Ventura in Tabacalera de Garcia and the Grupo de Maestros have been doing a fantastic job with that. The truth is that the origins of Vega Fina at the beginning was very mild, right?
Yeah.
And we have the white series and all this. Through a series of very special editions or limited editions, and the brand has continued to get more complexity on the blends and more flavorful. And it's a cigar that you mentioned. Aaron has certain way of looking at the flavor profile, and you have others. So I think this is something that actually incorporates a lot of people's in the wheel of flavors, right?
Yeah. And, Rafael, I have been smoking a lot of the Vega Finas. I reviewed the Year of the Rat they did earlier, and that was a much bolder Vega. I didn't expect that from a Vega Fina. That was a stronger cigar. I was very, very surprised and impressed with that.
That Year of the Rat. Yeah. And we're going to continue next year to, like I say, align, and we're going to be releasing all those brands just like we, doing in Europe, doing at the same time here. I think it's a great, some of those blends are amazing. And we do have, we get a lot of calls in the office of people that travel to Europe and then come back and say, hey, by the way, a retailer call us, hey, someone is here that tried this and this and that there. Do you have it? No, we don't sell it. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we are moving ahead to do that.
Yeah, I found that stalk cut in Sweden, and I love that Vega Fina stalk cut.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a really good one as well. Again, it was a very busy year for you. And obviously, the decision early on of Tobacco Rio de Say was not going to be at the trade show there. And right. Now there's no trade show, obviously, because of COVID, right? But it obviously had to change your go-to-market strategy, what you were doing this year, with the fact that you guys were not planning on being at the trade show.
Absolutely.
So let's look at it from a couple of different angles. How did this first of all affect how you were going to interface with your retailers, given that you weren't going to have a bunch of retailers now coming to a booth this year at a trade show?
So when the decision was made, and by the way, not politically, it didn't mean anything. Other than we felt that we could reach our retailers a different way and save money and pass those savings along to the retailers and hopefully to the consumers on that. So we wanted to continue doing that, and that's why the decision was made not to go to the show. So yes, with that in mind, we came out with different ideas to reach those retailers and present the new releases we are doing. You just received information, and I'm smoking that one, of the Henry Clay Warhawk Rebellious is one of the ones that we're doing. We also releasing one next week, another one next week, and one the following, another one next month, and another one the following month. So, but all of those strategy, how we were gonna do things, it did change because of the COVID-19, right?
Right.
So all of the plans that we had for during this year, which by the way, we're celebrating this year the 20th anniversary of Altadis USA, of incorporation of Altadis USA. So we had a lot of plans prepared for that, but again, it did change, and we're adjusting like everybody else to the current environment, right?
Yeah, there were a lot of anniversaries this year because you mentioned Altadis 20th. We mentioned Romeo Juliet is 145th. Monte Cristo 185th. So this was a big year, obviously, for milestones with the company.
85 Monte Cristo, yeah.
85, I'm sorry. Did I say 185? I meant 85,
yeah,
yes.
And 176. And, you know, there's a – listen, when you work with such amazing brands, right, so with so many years, every year is an amazing anniversary. It may sound good on the numbers, 176, it doesn't look as good as 175th, but there are amazing anniversaries every year of our brands. And then you had Trinidad 50 years last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always, you're always bound to have an amazing anniversary with all of our brands, right? So yeah, it is a lot of different things to celebrate. But listen, we are adjusting. We are reaching the retailers. We are dedicated to the different platform that we have and our extensive sales force of the people that visit the stores. We are dedicated to reach the consumers and we are changing every year. As you know, we are evolving and that is part of the journey, right? So we are, that's why I'm here. That's why Javier Estades, my boss, the president of Tabacalera USA, brought me, not only to work on the blends and to work on, but to work on a vision, on his vision of the company, which is we want it to be large, but we want to act like very, very small. Because at the end of the day, this is a very dynamic, right? Very dynamic industry, and we value every single one that of our partners and retailers and consumers and other manufacturers that we work with.
Very, very true. I mean, it was, I guess, things you mentioned. It was, you had a plan to go to market, obviously, without the trade show, and then COVID comes in. How have you had to adjust with that now? Because now maybe some of you guys who couldn't be on the road for a while now was suddenly not in front of the customers. So what was the strategy around that once COVID kind of threw the monkey wrench in there?
Yeah, it was difficult, just like for everybody. Eh? This has been a difficult thing personally. I've been at home, but thanks God we have been open during this whole thing. We have continued shipping. We haven't stopped shipping one day from our Tampa warehouses since we did. The same thing with our Santa Clara warehouse. And So the first, it was dedication to our employees, make sure that our employees were safe, and to our retailers, for the communication and making sure have products available for them. That's a huge thing, right? By the way, right? So when you have you know, the supply chains have changed in the last few years as needed inventory. But in Altis USA, we believe in keeping good inventory for cases like this. Not only of tobacco in the factory, we have a lot. We have one of the largest tobacco inventory. We have one of the largest. He said we have 7.5 million cigars in our humidor. 7.5 million in Dominican Republic, Tabacalera. We have over 5 million cigars in our humidor in the Flor de Copan. We have millions and millions, over 20 million cigars down here in our humidors. So we believe in making sure that we have everything needed for our retailers and for our consumers. So that was part of the strategy, and that helped us to continue servicing the consumer, which is at the end of the day, our goal.
Very good, very good. Aaron, anything else on that? I know you had some, I think I hit some of the points you had put in.
Yeah, I think you hit all the notes I put in there for that.
Awesome, awesome. So, Rafael, I want to talk a little about Romeo and Julieta, but I think it's a good time to mention the contest right now, what we're going to do here for the torch lighter and the travel humidor. And, of course, this week's contest brought to you by Tabacalera USA, makers of iconic brands such as Monte Cristo, Romeo and Julieta, H. Upman, Aging Room Cigars, and many more. Tabacalera USA, great things are happening here. Very simple contest, guys. You have to do this in the on the Cigar Coop Facebook page. So if you're in a watch party or anything, make sure you're on the main page. Tell us the first Romeo and Julieta cigar you smoked. Very simple.
The first Romeo and Julia cigar that they smoked. Very nice.
Yep. And you need to hashtag it. This is the key part, everyone, because some folks mix this part. So listen carefully. Hashtag it, RYJ1875. Year Romeo Julieta. So again, it has that hashtag RYJ1875. Otherwise, I can't find it. So
RYJ1875, the year that it's the brand is started. Very nice.
Yeah.
Hashtag RYJ1875.
Yep. I will pick a winner after this show, and I should have that. But I'll have that done probably by the end of the day tomorrow, and I'll contact the winner. And then I'll connect with Diana, who's been getting those prizes out very quickly. Steve was our big winner last week with the Aging Room cutter and lighter. So once you get that to me, I get it to Diana, and you know, early next week when everyone's back in the office, we should be able to have that for you.
Excellent, and that's a great price because that lighter, which is actually can serve to cook if you want. It's amazing, you know. I call it a table lighter because I can carry on my packet. So, and it's a fantastic lighter, great torch. And then that pack, that cigar humidor case, which is great to carry some cigars, especially in the summer. If you're down here in the South, it's fantastic. Actually great travel humidor. It holds the cigar very nice. So yeah, we're happy. Romeo and Julia, what a brand, right? So I'm smoking the new Romeo. This is a 6x60. That was just launched, the Magnum, eh?
Yep.
I'm not smoking it yet. I will light it up. But this is the Romeo, another launch. And the Romeo by Romeo and Juliet is a brand that is a mother. It was launched in 2013. And it's basically a modern interpretation, a bolder, fuller brand than the traditional Romeo and Juliet. And it is something that we just released. I couldn't believe we didn't have a 6x60.
Yeah, very, very true. And that's this particular brand, the Romeo by Romeo Julieta, that's kind of was your gateway into Altadis.
That's right. I fell in love with this cigar. And you, by the way, I smoke a lot of cigars from a lot of people. Eh? From time to time, my boss say, "Who do you work for? You're smoking, you're posting cigar from everybody." And so my answer is I need to test the competition, but it's not really that. I do enjoy cigars from everybody, and And because I'm in this because I love the cigar, right? I love the cigar. So it's funny because I was, I started buying these cigars and the Romeo. And I remember in an event in Tampa where I asked the rep from Altadis that now is a very good friend. And I was telling her, hey, can you give me one or two cigars? She said, well, later than this and that. I said, listen, you don't understand. I have in my car a box of those cigars right now, but I don't want to go all the way to the car because it was far. It's in a multi vendors. Actually, the Tampa Cigar Bash, a huge event, is now part of Casa de Monte Cristo now. And she said, well, I'm not sure you do have a box of cigars. I said, yeah, I went to the car. I got my box of cigars. I want to show it to her that I did buy those cigars. And then I fell in love and I said, maybe I can do something with them. And I came with the idea of doing a Romeo by aging room. Like, I love to dream, right? I dream big. And so everybody in my company told me, you're crazy, you know, after this. And I went and I pitched the idea to them. And to my surprise, they say, well, yeah, sounds great. And they gave me complete control. The complete control of the blend, of the design, of the name of the sizes, which I always, in the aging room, I always have musical term, right? Yep. So they gave me full control, and I was surprised. And that cigar did fantastically. It was highly rated, and that was the beginning. So it's a cigar that I'm very fond of, that I really love, and we have a lot of plans for it.
That's great. That's great to hear. That's great. Like I said, it's that line's been out for about 7-8 years right now. So it's
2013. That year highly, highly rated.
I remember when they were first coming out as well. But you're doing a lot with obviously 145th anniversary of Romeo and Julieta. And I'll talk about this cigar in a little towards the end of this segment. The Romeo Julieta 1875 Reserva Real Nicaragua. And you bring in your longtime collaboration partner, AJ Fernandez, for this cigar. Very different interpretation of a Romeo Julieta that you've had before. I love the blue band, by the way. I know people used to say blue bands don't sell, but I can tell you retailers are selling a lot of these right now because –
They are. And this has been a success, right? And we prayed and we hope that it will continue like that. But, you know, I like blue. And you know me, you look at my glasses. They're blue. And I have 7 different colors on my glasses. But I like to wear the blue over and over. And I love blue. And so I by the way, in AU room, I never did a blue, which is amazing. I don't know why it's changing now soon, by the way. But anyway, so I don't know. I cannot do this show with you every night because I feel like I'm at home and I start talking. Tomorrow, Monday, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. The 18th, the Reserva Real, Romeo and Juliet is one of the best selling brand in the United States. Not to say the best seller, but it is one of the best sellers. We have been working on it to bring a little bit more complexity and taking our consumers in a journey of flavors and profiles. Because I remember when I started, I've been going in a journey of flavors and new experiences. And we want to do that for our consumers of our brands. And taste changes and taste elevate. And we wanted to be able to provide in that brand different flavors, not only on the Romeo modern interpretation, but also in our classic lines. And that's what we did. Reserva Real, the original Dominican, made in Dominican, is a Ecuador, a Connecticut wrapper, and mild, fantastic flavors, very balanced, very smooth. And so the key on this is very, I get very nervous when I'm doing this type of blends, right? Because when you do a brand, for aging room, it's different, but for something that has been for so long, in 1875, that's really scary. Yeah. And so we wanted to get the basic things that people like about the Reserva Real, which became the creaminess, the smooth, and things like that, and then a sprinkle, what I call a sprinkler, with the Nicaraguan tobacco origin, which is a land of volcanoes, fuller body, and a little bit. So we wanted to bring that, but without losing that. It's not an easy thing. And so I look up, because we don't have a factory in Nicaragua, so we have been depending in two our major partners, which are AJ Fernandez and Plasencia Cigars. And we develop an amazing blend, I believe, and that I capture those elements of the traditional Reserva Real Romeo and Juliet, but also give it a little bit more flavorful and more complexity.
That's what I'll talk about when I get towards the end, but yes, I agree with everything you said on that cigar. It's a very different cigar than I've had out of AJ before. So it kind of shows another side that AJ can put together, you know, the tobaccos, working with you on that profile. Because it is a very different cigar than I've had out of AJ before.
Yeah, you see, AJ has his particular way of flavors that he likes, right? I personally have different flavors that I like and different profiles. But when you're blending for something like this, one of the things that I've been great working with AJ and with Plasencia, and by the way, I love working with other people. I did something with Ernesto Perez Carrillo. I love working with these people that know so much, and I'm learning. I feel like a kid in a chocolate factory when I started with Perdomo making our Oliveros Gran Reserva. And then, you know, I love this, learning from these people that know so much. And they understand, you know, so we put our goals, you know, so we don't take cigar and this is what we want. We put our goals, and especially brands like this. This is what we have, and this is what we want. And then we go from there. So we have, in these brands, right, not in others, specific goals that we're looking for. It's a new form for me to blend, but I think what we have been a little bit successful is to look at the brand and the blend and being able to match it, right? So, listen, today you may have smoked 3 or 4 cigars. They are amazing, but it's not good for the Reserva Real Romeo and Juliet. So not everyone has to go with their own identity. So we're trying to create, just like we're doing in the packaging and things, in the flavor profile, we're trying to create a journey for that brand. So it's exciting, but I get nervous, eh? Very nervous.
You did this is really good. The other cigar you came out with late last year, early this year, it started to hit, and this one flew under the radar a bit, and I was really impressed with it, was the Connecticut Nicaragua, which is that Nicaraguan shade grown Connecticut seed wrapper on that. That was a really good cigar.
Absolutely. I saw your review not long ago, actually. And I think you nailed it. Listen, it's hard when you're doing so many releases and things like that. But we are dedicated to bring new experiences to our consumer. That's what we are all about. And this was, we had the 1875 brand, which the one in Dominican uses a Java wrapper, and then we decided to do something a little bit different. So we started with the 1875 Nicaragua, which is an Habano Claro wrapper, and then we wanted to do something different. So we are basically providing, well, our idea of that is provide on the 1875 flavors that start with our classic one, then the Habano Claro, and then we wanted to do with the Connecticut. But it was, you know, there are a lot of Connecticuts on
yeah.
the show. So this was my interpretation. And by the way, it's a lot of great Connecticuts, because, you know, I was not a Connecticut smoker, right? I was not. But it's a number one seller of wrapper in the United States. It's very high still. And so we wanted to bring, but we did not want to lose the we wanted to do something different, but we did not want to lose our consumers on that. So talking to Ernesto Plasencia, and we came out with that, the seed grown, because you have the Ecuadorian Connecticut, you have the Honduras that have been used, that he started growing, by the way, and then Nicaragua is different soil, and it's just a different flavor. So that's what we tried to do.
Yeah, it was a very, very enjoyable cigar, very well priced as well. Yeah. So, like I said, if you're a Connecticut fan, I'm encouraging you to give that cigar a try. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Yeah, because it's funny what we found on that strength of that variety of the Connecticut, right? So if you smoke a USA Connecticut wrapper, light wrapper, has a specific flavor and aftertaste, right? Has a specific flavor, and then the one grown in Ecuador has lost that. It's different. So you can tell when you are doing smoking in Ecuador, it's a different flavor profile. But this one is one of the original seeds grown in Connecticut, and it's new grown in Nicaragua. So I think it's closer to the original USA, but still without the aftertaste. And obviously better price, anything grows in the United States just because of the labor and many other things is very expensive. So we were able to provide something different.
Yeah, I agree. I said it was one that really caught my attention this year, that cigar, for sure. And it kind of, again, I think there's a lot of great things that have been going on there. With especially with Romeo Julieta this year. It's been a big year, I think, for you guys with that.
Well, this is the year that we call it internally. This is a year for Romeo and Juliet. Eh? So we do it now. Right. Now the Reserva Real. And let me tell you, Reserva Real came out during this difficult time, right? So we had our plans, right? But, God is funny. So you wanted make plans, and God said, yeah, of course, yeah. We had all this plan out and how we're going to do the release. We started little by little at TPE. We show it. We start taking pre-orders, and we had a complete launching plan. And that changed, obviously. But we launched this in the middle of the pandemic.
You right? did. You
it
did.
Came out, it came out, and, obviously many people can say it's crazy, right? So, it worked out because one of the things that people during these difficult times are look for heritage brand, really brands that they know, right? The names that they have been there, have seen for a long time. And this was a way, if you ask for Romeo and Juliet, then they were able to say, well, we got the newest one. And it worked out. I think it's one of the only major release that was done during the beginning of the pandemic. So we are taking risk. With risk, listen, things can happen. We are extremely happy that the performance is amazing, eh? It's amazing.
No, one retailer actually commented on that to me, and how this, like, this one came out in the middle of the pandemic, and it's moving very, very well for them, they were telling me. And they were completely surprised. And they tend to just buy a lot of the portfolio of Altadis to begin with. But, this one came on the shelves and people came in and gravitated to it. It's a familiar name. It's a different spin on it. But I think it's also one that if you are a Reserva Real smoker, you could definitely appreciate this blend. I mean, there's no question about it.
I think so. And listen, I am a believer that you have a journey in flavors and profiles. I love to eat, and as I'm sure, like we mentioned at the beginning, I've been cooking a lot, but the thing is, you're looking for different flavors and profiles. So our job and my philosophy is that I want to take you, the consumer, in a journey. I want to tell you, I want to give you different things. Not all are going to be successful, by the way. So far has been fantastic, but I can tell my bosses, hey, by the way, this is not going to be, it's not possible to be like the very, and then and it happens. Another thing we're doing this year, by the way, we also paying a lot of attention. We started doing last year, paying attention to our other brands that we have, that we call it portfolio brands. like the Trinidad, right? We did release that. Yep. This year, we're coming out with a new spin on it. Very good as well. We are, you know, Henry Clay, that we did last year. We're coming out with this limited edition that we just released. So we are paying attention to our... we cannot be a company with only three brands and no four brands. We want to be able to provide the consumer, the retailers, a very strong portfolio with brand and concept. And that's an important part.
Oh, totally into it on that. I like that. Yeah, I just want to remind folks again, if you haven't gotten in on the contest for the Travel Humidor and the Torchlighter, just put in what your first Romeo Julieta cigar is with the hashtag, RYJ1875.
By the way, Alan Rubin, even if you put hashtag RYJ1875, sorry, my friend, I don't think you can qualify.
No, Alan's pretty good on stuff like that. I'll give him credit. He actually technically isn't eligible, but he just, I know he likes to share his experiences with that. So, but sorry, Alan. So Raphael, you mentioned Henry Clay, and I'm sorry.
Hold on 1 second. There's one other Romeo and Julieta release this year, and that's a JR exclusive, correct?
Oh yes.
Well, we are actually.
I did forget the JR exclusive. Correct. Yeah.
Yes. Passion.
Yes.
Romeo and Juliet Passion. The thing is. We are going back to, you know, we do a lot of private labels to a specific store. So for them, we put it, it's a beautiful red box with a motif of the balcony. We wanted to bring something a little bit different to that. And we did a blend Honduras, Tabacalera Flor de Copan. And that is an amazing blend. Incorporates tobacco grown there in the next to the factory in that area with a Criollo 98 variety, Habano variety, but also incorporates a little bit of others tobacco. So we, and the wrapper, that is just a beautiful wrapper. That is, if you look at that wrapper, it's the closest one thing that you can have to a Cuban wrapper, right? Grown in Cuba. We felt fantastic with that. So the Passion. The Passion is coming to an end, and we're changing the, we're going to be releasing one after that as a follow-up. Something that we are extremely proud has been doing extremely, extremely well. But again, going to the DNA of the brand, I'm a passion. What else can you know when you have Romeo and Juliet, that passion and love, and that's what we feel. And by the way, that's a passion that the people in Flor de Copan and Tabacalera Garcia feels every day. I'm amazed for these people that work so hard to make the best cigar they can. This is, and these are factories that we haven't talked much because, you know, they're there to make these brands, but we are calling attention to these brands and the factories because they're doing an amazing job.
Very, yeah, excellent. You know, Raphael, you mentioned Casa de Monte Cristo JR. I'll kind of move this question up a bit because it's like, I think a good segue. You've been working with Pepin on a few things right now that have been going into those stores.
Let me tell you, I love working with Pepin, right? It's a guy that I admire, right? That this represents an amazing culture of tobacco, different point of view, and his family, Jaime and Gianni, and everybody and what they do. And Pepin, by the way, Pepin was called Mr. Monte Cristo in Cuba. Right? I want you to know that. So, I mean, there's a... parallels there. So we're looking back to some amazing brands that we had in portfolio and I found Cabañas. Cabañas was the first premium cigar ever to be made in Cuba, released in Cuba. So it's the oldest Cuban cigar brand. When I heard that, when I saw that in portfolio, I said, Pepin. And I was so proud and so pleased. when Pepin decided, you know, agreed to work on this project with me and with us. Cabaña is this. And then we did something special that was just released, although we did it a year ago. So an exclusive for Casa de Montecristo, yep, by my father, exclusive. Let me tell you, that is an amazing, amazing cigar, right? I must tell you, I'm very intimidated when I'm working with some of these iconic people, right? Because, you know, I feel so little right next to this, you know, and maybe that's why I eat too much, you know, at least to have a physical presence. But these people have so much knowledge, right? And have so much understanding, such an understanding of the tobacco and the premium cigars and the seeds and what they're doing, that for me has been an amazing journey. So Cabaña, I don't know if some of you guys haven't tried the Cabaña. Again, the first cigar brand in Cuba. And now we had a reverse of that. We look in terms of the look and feeling of the classic one, classic look of that in a papered wrap box. And what an amazing blend. And a fantastic price, I may add.
Price. Yeah, Nick Robredi and I were talking about that cigar too, and it's aging like really good.
The aging
potential on that cigar has been very good.
Because you're right, not every cigar has aging potential.
Right.
Not every cigar. Because you know, if you are in other countries and you buy a cigar from another country, sometimes you buy the cigar. And see how politically I put it. If you're in another country, and you buy in another country, and you buy cigars knowing that you're gonna age it, right? And they're gonna get fantastic or better after aging. But here in the United States, we're trying to bring the cigar when it's optimal for the consumer, right? So we do a lot of the aging, the fermentation, and things like that. But some are just get better and better. They will change. But they get better and better, in my opinion.
I totally agree with that. And that's a whole fun part of what we do here too.
I was looking in my humidor today.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
In my humidor, and I can tell you, I have boxes there. The prensado. Remember the prensado from Alan Rubin? Yep. I have prensado from when they first came out. I have maybe 10 boxes. I have CAOs. I have La Gloria Cubana that were made in Miami. In Miami. I have such an eclectic look of different cigars that I like. And obviously I had a store, so whenever I got something good, I kept it. I say I'm going to keep it, and Hank and I get to smoke. Today we're smoking some of those very old CAO. For God's sake, I was having today a CAO made by Nick Perdomo.
Oh, wow.
Nick Perdomo. This is we do have, so I love some of these cigars that just continue to get better and better.
That's, like I said, that's always a fun part of cigars too. We were kind of segueing into Henry Clay, a very active brand the last few years. And you just announced the new Warhawk Rebellious. And that's a completely different Henry Clay than what we've seen before.
That's correct. And, you know, with Henry Clay, the company did long before I got here, renewed the Henry Clay with a small release, a very limited release with Tatuaje. So it was a Henry Clay Tatuaje.
Yep.
And then they did the Stolcott, which was, by the way, was the set way for your Vega Fina Stolcott that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so that's the Henry Clay Stolcott. Then the brand was there for a little bit. And then last year, March of last year, we released the Henry Clay Warhawk. Different concept. I wanted to do something different, so it was a Connecticut wrapper, Ecuadorian Connecticut, but with a broad leaf, which is traditionally right. That cigar, yeah. As a broad leaf, as a binder, and that he did fantastically. Eh? So we just started doing well. So we now continue that. Originally, it was envisioned to have a three cigar series. And this year, so now I work again with AJ Fernandez. And although we say 100% Nicaragua, I'm gonna give you the scoop, like you say, you know, the scoop. So this is 100% Nicaragua. But the key, is that this has a broadleaf binder grown in Nicaragua. Yeah. In Nicaragua. So we say Nicaragua, but it's a broadleaf grown by AJ Fernandez, right? As a binder on this cigar. And then why stop there? This is a limited edition. Why stop there? So we went to a wrapper that is very rare because it's something that AJ did. It aged and he kept it there. And I'm not sure if he remembered he had it there, but on one of the tours, talking with him and walking, and he was showing me different things, a little area that we had this wrapper, very rare, very well aged, tremendously well aged. And I think it's something special. So we wanted to sprinkle that that Nicaragua into this limited edition. So it's limited edition, very limited amount of boxes, because it's very unique.
Oh, so it does have the broadleaf in there, though. So
it's grown in Nicaragua.
Yes, yes.
So because of all these things with regulations, we're saying 100% Nicaragua.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen AJ been posting pictures of the broadleaf. So
let me tell you, an amazing broadleaf. Eh?
Yeah,
they're huge. Actually, I think today or yesterday he posted a picture, right? And these are huge. These are, well, I cannot do it like here. It's like amazing. And then it's aged a little bit different than in Connecticut, right? So normally in Connecticut, when you cut the plant, you do it in cold cut, the whole plant. And now here, it is just like you do the whole thing by primes, and then it's aged and separate and fermented. So it's a very different process.
Yeah, no, so that's pretty exciting there. And Aaron's smoking that, and we'll hit those at the end of the segment here, what we're smoking. But there's other brands. It seems like this year has been last year was a big year for H Upman and Monte Cristo. A little quieter for those brands this year, I'd say, right? Or
until now.
Okay.
Until now. Their plans were amazing this year. Two amazing Monte Cristos.
I was going to say, because every year there's a Monte Cristo. So I was wondering if we were going to see anything with that.
It will be a little bit of, we delay a little bit of the things because of the COVID-19. So we're doing the introduction little by little, and we're expanding it a little bit more. But one thing that we're trying to do now is to let, when we do so many releases at one, and when we do the show, we release so many things, right? And I can tell you something like H. Orman Española, a fantastic cigar. It fell through because it's the Grupo de Maestros before. So you do so many releases, but part of our strategy this year, not going to the show, was to be able to give more time to the brands to breathe, right, and to call that attention.
Yeah, Hispaniola, I know we talked about it the last time you were on. That's the Andulio. I really like that cigar a lot.
Exactly. And listen, I don't want to copy. And, we were not the first one to come up with Andulio. And then, what do you do? So, you don't want to copy things. We can do the same thing, but we don't want to copy. So what we did in that one is the Andulio is part of the story, but it's not the main character of the story.
Right.
It enhances the flavor. It gives you smoke a cigar and you say, wow, there's something different, but it's not on your face, that type of thing. So that is one of the most difficult blends that I have done, right? Because when I came into the company, they were already working on this one. And then we went to, okay, so let's not buy the Andulio, because due to regulatory things, we need to know exactly what it has inside, how it's made, all the ingredients. And with Andulio, we couldn't tell the ingredients because you buy this Andulio ready made, right? Mm-hmm. So our supplier, which is an amazing people, family since 1962 there, the Jose Mendez company, you know, they made the Andouille for us, specifically with our requirements. And we were just so thrilled to do that. But again, so many releases at one is difficult.
Yeah, no, that's true. Anything with Aging Room? I know you got number one cigar of the year. Anything with Aging Room you have plans for in the next year?
Yes, for this year, actually.
Okay.
We do have we have something coming on with the same Aging Room, Cuatro Nicaragua. So mm-hmm. We have an expansion there. And then something very exciting for next year as well. And then at the end of this year, in addition, we have these small batches of things. So we're coming with a new concept and a new thing. So very rare tobaccos that we are launching this year on that as a follow-up. So in the Aging Room, we are, something that you know that we started doing with the Aging Room, looking at some rare tobaccos and very limited editions and things like that. And it's funny because I was listening today to someone talking about what is a boutique? What is boutique? What does boutique means, right? And that's for me what it means, right? A small production with very rare, very difficult to find tobacco. So we are concentrating on that as well. At the same time that we're expanding our Aging Room Cuatro Nicaragua line. It's very exciting.
That's great. That's great to hear. Aaron, anything else on brands we want to hit?
I don't think so. I think you got them all.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff there. Couple of other questions, Rafael. How are you doing on time?
I nothing to do in my life.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to
keep you. The only thing that I questioned that I said, man, I shouldn't have, but I can just text my son to bring it, is more rum. I didn't think that I should have brought my whole bottle. And I have the Zacapa XO, which is an amazing rum. This is a special occasion for me. Like I say, I'm in a celebration mood. So I took my best rum that I had, or one of my best rum that I had, and I wanted to share while I do this. I'm planning.
Awesome. I just wanted to ask a couple questions on, one more question on TPE. We haven't really talked about TPE. You had your first TPE this year. What was your experience like? And is it something you guys are going to go back and continue to do that particular show?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I have attended a TPE first under as boutique blend for one time. And we didn't think it was what we needed as a very small manufacturer at the time. Then I went back last year or 2 years ago. With Altadis, they had their booth there, so I went to see. And then this year, I was part of the exhibitors. What I found this year in TPE was an amazing change, right? An amazing evolution of a show, and I think has a lot of room to growth. I am extremely excited because. As many of the people that visited the show will tell you, and I heard them say, and that's how I felt, it was a more family-oriented type of feeling. And many people say, this is what I, like the IPCPR or RTDA used to look like, right? So It was a smaller one. I think I love it. Because one of the things that it was fantastic about the show, one is educational things that you have, and but also at night, you all together, they have these parties on these things and what have you, and all the industry together. So when you are like me, I went to the IPCPR being a small company and I didn't have the money to invite people and things like that. Or a retailer tell me all the time, they go and, they don't feel part of it. Because a long time, if you remember at the IPCPR or RTDA before, you had all these parties, right? For the big companies that everybody was involved or everybody was invited. But that changed to economical conditions. And there are some people that fell behind, right? That they're not part, if they're not invited to your to your compound. Like, I have never been invited, but anyway, some, you know, someday, okay.
You're coming.
Yeah. I know. So you got, yeah, I know. You got to keep Martin there. That's fantastic and all the, that's okay. So, no, the small manufacturers can feel left behind. Some small retailers can feel, you know, they're not invited to the big nines or the big things or dinner or what have you. But what I felt at the TPE was, you know, these family-oriented things, right? I felt it, and I think it was a unique experience, and it's something to build on. So yeah, we are going, and we're very excited about going. You know, even if next year, for hopefully in January, everything continue to be going. But I think it's a great opportunity to a small manufacturers as well as established manufacturers and retailers.
That's good to hear. I enjoyed my first TPE. This was my first, and I really enjoyed it a lot.
No, and they listened. That you know, I heard you cover show the TPE, and you talk about the media section, right, and the things like that, and the, you know, so just like I felt as a manufacturer, you felt as according to your coverage, you know, you had a media area that you could write and do the space and things like that. All these are fantastic ideas, right, that are necessary to make you feel part of it and do your job.
It was those little things. I mean, I did make a lot of use of that room. I did the Karl Malone interview in there. They helped me get Karl Malone to the interview room, which is not something I've had trade shows help me with in the past. It was those little things. And, oh, by the way, it was the guys running tobacco business who helped me while they're covering the show, which I was very grateful to those guys for to do that. So there were a lot of little things there that made it. Like I said, so I plan on being back next year for sure.
Absolutely. And that's how I felt as a manufacturer, right? And although, listen, we have a small booth. You know, we didn't have anything major. Hopefully not everybody's going to come up with bigger and bigger and bigger because, you know, like I tell my wife sometimes, bigger, not necessarily better, you know?
No, that's true. That's true.
You know?
That's true. That's really true. Now, I know you love steak, right? Because I went to Bizarre Meats with you. Yeah. Which is a little secret, Raphael. I actually went back to Bizarre Meats for the second time just after that. It was that good.
Very good.
So I want to mention our Cattle Baron Cigars steak question of the night. And this is on steak. Raphael, what is your favorite cut of steak?
For me, is the filet mignon.
And oh, okay.
I can't even pronounce it, the French one, but it's the cut of
the au jus?
No, it will come to me.
Okay.
But for me, it's a filet mignon. It's for me, it's the best one for me. And I try all meats. I'm a meat lover, although I'm changing a lot lately. I'm going to seafood and I started, at least for color, some vegetables around. But I've been listening to some of your questions too, especially at Nestor and some other people on that, on the best cigars, the best steakhouses.
Yeah, you can answer that one too.
Okay. So, you know, like Ernesto mentioned, is Burns in Tampa. It's a very traditional, very old place. I remember going there for the first time, the first IPCPR that I attended was in Tampa, maybe 2001, was it? And it's impressive because they have a separate floor just for dessert. So you finish your meal and then you go to the second floor and you have your dessert there. And that is that I think for me is one of the best. But here in Miami, I go to New York a lot. Club 21 is an amazing place that I like. It's a very old traditional restaurant and it's a very steakhouse. Here in Miami, you have one that is for me is my favorite. It's Forge on 41st Street, by Miami Beach on 41st Street.
Okay.
Forge is traditional, but it has some aged and bone-in steaks that are amazing. Now, because I live a block from Chula's, I do go out to a lot to the Chula Steakhouse that you, when you go to Miami, stay next to it.
Yep.
And that's one, this is the original one.
I went there with Nick actually, yeah.
Right, well, Nick, I've seen Nick there many times. Yeah.
He's got a table there, literally.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So, that's one. Those three for me, the Burns in Tampa, Club 21 in New York City, and Forge and Don Chula in the original one in Miami Lakes.
There you go. I have to try those other two. I've been to Chula's, but I got to try the other two.
Like Ernesto mentioned, Saga in Santiago, you cannot, I mean, you know, come on. That huge steak is the best. It's very different that you can.
Oh, have. Those tomahawks! Yeah, they're the best. That is. There's no better tomahawk I've had than that.
Absolutely, and you know, in Spain as well. I've seen one of my favorite hotels. I've seen Ernesto Perez Carrillo come out of that hotel. So I go to a lot of the restaurant that he goes in Madrid. So. Steak is something that America does very well. Eh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can find some great steakhouse around the world, but America is the best one of that.
Absolutely. So let's talk about what we were smoking tonight. And I want to mention that is sponsored by Tailored Smoke, located in the heart of downtown Charlotte's epicenter and now just near the Charlotte Motor Speedway in Concord, North Carolina. Tailored Smoke is your one-stop shop for a tailored smoking experience. So, Aaron, you are smoking the Warhawk Rebellious.
Yes, this is what I'm smoking today, if it can show up.
I think you might be one of the first people outside our company to smoke that cigar. Actually, even inside the company, I will say.
So this is it's definitely kind of a good contrast to the original Warhawk that came out last year, because the Warhawk last year was – much lighter, smooth, creamy, kind of, you know, the Connecticut style. This is definitely more on the peppery side. It's got a little bit of creaminess to it, a little bit of mustiness to it. But the pepper kind of keeps its level throughout the cigar. It kind of maintains all the way through. So it's definitely, you know, if you wanted to like start your day with the Warhawk and then follow it up with this, I don't think there'd be any kind of, anything between them that's going to run over the other one. So it's two completely different experiences. Yeah. And this is, it's smoking well. Construction is fantastic. It's a nice smoke. Retrohale is not too strong. The pepper's still there, but it's not overbearing. It doesn't burn your nostrils or anything like that. So I think it's a well-done cigar, and it's definitely, I guess the Rebellious name goes well with how it kind of works along with the original Warhawk. So it's a nice balance to it.
Well, I'm glad you like it and you describe it what we try to do, right? So it's Rebellious, the name. When we already had a preceding name when I started working on the blend with that. So, you know, you want to be a Rebellious, although these days you have to be careful with anything that you say and how you say it. But the idea is a Rebellious to get that flavor and to be the peppery. It's amazing because, you know, how many cigars you have that the peppery – it starts, right? And then it goes down and then you either get used to it or it's gone.
Right.
So that's, and especially the difficult part of that, having that in a not too strong cigar. So that was the most difficult. And this is one that we already had the idea of what I wanted. So we came to this one with what I wanted. This is what we wanted to do. So how you get there, let me tell you, is anybody's guess. Okay, so you start working towards that, right?
Right.
And I think the key at the end, we try a lot of different blends. And it was easier because it was a small production. So we were able to get tobaccos that, you know, there are not a lot of those available. But the key on that is not only the binder, which I think, if I had to give you a tip, is the key for to have it a peppery around, because it's a Nicaraguan broadleaf. I mean, you know, it has that, the best of both worlds. But in addition, then to be able to have the smoothened, is that wrapper that is extremely rare and well aged. So that combination, I think it did it.
Hold on. All right, well, what are you smoking?
I'm smoking the Reserva Real, Nicaragua. And let's pull the band here. Rafael, I think you nailed this, exactly what you said earlier. So this thing's going to start out, and, you know, it's going to be a nutty, creamy cigar up front. Really coming at with some nice flavor, good medium body to it. As you smoke it, you're going to get some of that AJ Fernandez oomph to it, a little of the spice. Right. You're going to get some of the earthy flavors. It's a it's like a best of both worlds is what you're getting there. But I really, like I said, that nutty creaminess up front is something a little different than I've seen out of an AJ Fernandez cigar before. And it, again, just it's a testament to what you guys are doing with this. And like I said, I could see this cigar, if someone's a Romeo Julieta Reserva Real smoker, this is a great cigar as a next step for them to go to. And I think it could become easily an everyday cigar for people. This is very, very good, this cigar.
And then let me just tell you, one thing that you, Aaron, can feel as well, with the Henry Clay Warhawk Rebellious, and now you, Will, and I'm smoking the same cigar, the aroma of the cigar.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that aroma, I when I'm cooking and when I'm eating, then, you know, I love those restaurants that when you are four people, they bring you the plate and they open at the same time. And then I do these things and I went, because I fell in love with the aroma first before I go. And so what we're trying to do is not only have a fantastic blend and the great taste and specific things that we're looking for the blend, but it has to have that aroma. I did the Bohème, La Bohème, when I, before I joined after this with the Asian Room Boutique Blend Days. And I love aromas on the cigars, and it brings me back to specific times and specific moments in my life. And I cannot tell you how many blends I have done that they smoke great, but they just don't have that aroma, and just don't do it. I for me, has to have the combination. So in these two cigars that you guys are doing, are smoking now, and one that I'm smoking, and the other one before that I was smoking as well, is the aroma. And yeah. Adds to that. You know, in AJ, we have been able to find a partner that it just doesn't impose his criteria. This is what I like, and this is what it is. We know that we are creative. He knows that we're trying to do amazing things with amazing blends, and so we don't go. We know what we go. What we want the goal, but not preconceived ideas. Or this is what I like. No. This is what we need to go. And how can we get there? So it's a journey, and it's one of the most amazing things, being able to create a blend. I am so. So humble to see people like in the industry you mentioned, you know, doing also work with Pepin and you know, Ernesto Perez Carrillo, Perdomo. These are icon people, or, you know, that they just know a lot of that. And for us to be able to come up with ideas to work on that direction, this is a humbling experience, I have to tell you.
Well, it's very good. You know, the other comment I want to make on that cigar, you mentioned the complexity, like how you kind of got a lot more complexity, and you got that AJ Fernandez factor in there on top of like what I would say is a base Romeo Real profile. And it definitely, this cigar is a nice cigar. If you like transitions, if you like a lot of flavors on the tongue, you're going to get it with that Reserva Real Nicaragua for sure.
It is, and let me tell you, I'm a musician. So, you know, my stepson is a producer, and he's there with his instrument, and then, you know, you move something up and you change this and you change that and you change it. So I feel the same way. So I said to the AA, listen, this is what we need to do. Okay, so you got the balance over here. Balance has to be here. But then you're looking at complexity and the flavors and the thing. So it's like the original one, and then we go into, okay, so yeah, a little bit more here, a little bit more here, a little bit. And listen, it's very simple to say, right? It is, you know, it's not easy to get it, because sometimes you change a little bit and then everything falls different, right? So perhaps that's not the right mix. And then we go into that. So that's what we try. But trying to be true to those balance and smoothness so that we had in those original.
Yes. Bands. Yeah. It's got a, I want to say a smooth, the smoothest is the word I'm using on this. It's a very nuanced smoke. But like I said, if you want some of those Nicaraguan, you're definitely getting those Nicaraguan characteristics on this cigar. I can't say enough. If folks haven't tried this cigar, to go check this, because I'm very impressed with now smoking this.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm doing maybe 20 to 30 new blends a day, a year that we put out. So that means a lot of bad blends without to smoke. Eh? And that is always fun. I have to tell you, last I think it was Sunday, I was here on the beach and I was smoking a cigar, a blend that we were working on. I got so sick, and that it was amazing. What a bad blend. And, you know, it's something that I had a lot of, I felt very good at the time. I let her age a little bit, and it was horrible. I got sick, and... it's things like that. So, you know, we do a lot of bad things in order to get one okay blend. It's a journey.
No, understood as well. Rafael, I want to do a quick sponsor break, and then we have some fun questions for you. I promise there's nothing that's going to get you into trouble. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. So I want to mention JRE Tobacco. The authentic Corojo leaf is one of the most robust and flavorful leaves out there. During the golden age of cigars in Cuba, it was a leaf of choice to make some of the world's greatest cigars. Because it is one of the most challenging ones to cultivate, it fell out of favor by the 1990s. In the Hamastron Valley at Honduras, Julio Aroa took on the challenge of growing Corojo from the original season in 2000. He successfully reintroduced authentic Corojo back to the market. With over 50 years' experience in the tobacco business, from growing and curing tobacco to cigar production, the JRE Tobacco Farm has been able to continue to deliver products to market with authentic Corojo. Now with JRE Tobacco, Julio and his son Huso bring their very own brand to market, each containing the authentic Corojo leaf. Tadascano is a mild to medium cigar in both Connecticut and Habano. Rancho Luna is a premium medium cigar offered in Habano and Maduro. And Aladino is available in a 100% authentic Corojo Puro, San Andreas Maduro, Ecuador and Connecticut shade, or Cameroon wrapper representing the golden age of cigars from 1947 to 1961. Now available at your local retailer, be sure to ask for JRE Tobacco, a legacy that is tasted in every drawer. And by Toscano Cigars, as rustic and strong as the people who smoke them, try Toscano's rustic and full-bodied flavors and aromas. Made in Italy with 100% dark fire-cured tobacco from the U.S. and Italy, it is one of the best-selling cigars in the world. Toscano Cigars are the perfect combination of American and Italian craftsmanship, whether in the traditional long format or the short format Toscanello. Toscano Cigars are dry-cured, handmade, and fire-cured for your enjoyment anytime, anywhere. Visit your local premium cigar retailer today and look for Toscano Cigars today. And by A.J. Fernandez Cigars. A.J. Fernandez's New World brand is named in honor of the discovery of tobacco by Christopher Columbus's expedition in 1492. Fernandez collaborated with his father Ishmael on the cigar, which is comprised of a wrapper from Nicaragua that covers binder from the Jalapa Valley and a filler blend of Ometepe, Condega, and Esteli tobaccos. The Core line debuted in 2014, followed by the New World Connecticut, New World Puro Especial, and New World Cameroon. All four blends are able to captivate the palate of any cigar smoker. If you are beginning to discover the fine world of premium handmade cigars, the New World Connecticut is for you. If you're into the rich, full-bodied blends, Puro Especial is for you. If you're into complex flavors, New World Cameroon is for you. And if you're into the robust and earthy flavors with notes of espresso, the New World Oscuro is definitely for you. Visit www.ajfcigars.com to learn more. And by M. Bombay Cigars. M. Bombay Cigars represents the most admired cigar culture of Cuba. They select the best quality tobacco to use in the aging process. M. Bombay Cigars are rolled to Costa Rica by some of the world's most experienced cigar rollers, giving it a unique smoking experience. The band portrays the detailed and artistic nature of our small industry. Try M. Bombay, Gaia, M. Cuba, and the M. Esteli line. M. Bombay Cigars, where the cigar is a way of life. And we want to mention Alec Bradley Cigars. Do you really want to hear another cigar that talks about fillers, binders, wrappers, and aging ratings? Blah, blah, blah. How about this? Pick up an Alec Bradley cigar. Smoke it. Enjoy it. Spend an hour with it. You'll be one happy camper. Visit alecbradley.com. And we want to get into our Live True segment sponsored by Alec Bradley. And this, we kind of take a little break from some of the hardcore tobacco talk that we just had. We just talked about wrappers, binders, and aging and stuff.
And we'll, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. And Rafi, we've been asking manufacturers. We did something similar to Ernesto last week. So some of the questions are a little different I'm going to ask you. But if you heard the Ernesto segment that we did here with him, there are similar questions we're going to ask you. I changed up a couple of them. So we know you play the piano, Raphael. Okay? And you are, I've seen you play the piano many times. And you're forming a band, and you're the piano player. Who are you choosing for your lead singer?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, Ernesto had the drums. You have the piano, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. Listen, the problem is I like classical music, right? So some of the people that I will do is like some classical music.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
They're not fun names, right? So what the heck are you going to have Pavarotti in a things like that, right? But today I was listening a lot to I listen a lot to Spanish music in addition to classical music, so that doesn't count a lot. But today I had some. We finished early in the office today, so I spent a few hours on the beach, and I was listening to the Eagles. So I spent most of my day. I listened most of my day. I had like 3 hours today on the beach, and I listened smoking cigars, and I listened mostly to the same song in different ways, right? So I had the Eagles, and I have Hotel California, which I learned today how they came out with how they wrote the song and things like that. So I was mostly today about working on the Eagles on that. But what is it? You know, I also listen to the Sound of Silence. I listen to 10 different variations of the Sound of Silence. And one thing that I noted today that I really not noted, Garfield. How you pronounce it?
Simon and Garfield. Simon Garfunkel. Yes.
Garfunkel. Amazing voice. So I heard him in a different way. So he will be, it's an old guy, right? So not funky, modern, things like that. But for me, it will be my choice to have him as a singer for my band.
Amazing voice.
An amazing voice and the whole thing, right? So I listened to that song in 10 different formats, different ways today, for modern and things like that. But the way he did it, and Simon, you know, has amazing, but he has an amazing different format, and that will be my choice.
That's a great choice. I wouldn't have expected that answer, but that's a great choice. You mentioned the Eagles and Hotel California. That Gypsy Kings version that they cover,
it takes it to another level.
I mean,
I am a lot into Spanish music, right? So in flamenco and things like that, I rediscover everything Spanish, and I even became a Spanish citizen, you know. You need to have plan B, right? So this is my plan, you know. I'm Cuban, American, and now Spanish as well. But one of my first introduction here in the United States to Spanish music, although they're not necessarily from Spain, are the Gypsy Kings. Amazing song.
Yeah. They really did good. You might have answered my second question already then. What your favorite? I know you're an opera fan, but what's your favorite genre of music besides opera? Is it the Spanish Latin music?
It's, you know, I like all songs, right? So I like all songs. So Latin music for me is the most. I really into Latin jazz a lot. So I think for the last 3 years, I'm gonna share with some of you, for the last maybe 3 or 4 years, every morning when I wake up, the first thing I do, I put a song from Arturo Sandoval. The first thing I do in the morning. Yeah. Arturo is a guy that I respect very much, but it goes into different things. So Latin music for me, And the Latin jazz for me is an amazing. And then I've been rediscovering all Puerto Rican salsa music and things like that. So that would be, I would say, that for me, it really touched me in a different way. Because, let me tell you why. Because it touches in the jazz section. So you got the African roots, but then you have kind of the some mix of rock there at one point, and so it's a fusion of many different things.
Raphael, if you haven't, you mentioned Paul Simon. If you haven't heard his Rhythm of the Saints album, he incorporates African musicians and Brazilian musicians.
Oh, I haven't. So I will.
You want to check out Rhythm of the Saints? Yeah. I saw him perform that in Central Park when I lived in New York, and he came out with that whole band. Just they did this big intro, and it was awesome. So I think you should check that out. Put it on your list if you haven't.
I will, because I've been rediscovering this music for the 50s and 60s and 70s, right? So they have so much meaning. And yeah. What happened is when I started, for example, when I started listening to music, American music, I loved the music, but I didn't pay attention. I couldn't understand the song, the actual lyrics. So and then now that I can pay more attention to it and really understand the lyrics, we have some amazing lyrics with things. And for example, that's why today I not only I listen to 10 different versions of the sound of silence, but the lyrics is amazing. It's amazing. So I've been rediscovering some of these things. I will definitely look for that. I'm really a sucker now for lyrics, right? So it means I'm tired, boom, boom, on things, things like that.
Yeah, I think you'll appreciate this. I'm going to switch the order of this a bit for a reason, Aaron, just so you're aware. Sure. Favorite television series, Raphael?
Television series?
Yeah, of all time.
Wow. Yeah. Well, another secret. I have two.
That's okay. Yep.
Every night, when I go to sleep, I watch either Seinfeld or Frasier. I cannot tell you how many goddamn times I have watched the Seinfeld episode. I start laughing before they say the joke. I know. And then Frasier, the same thing, except Frasier, they took it away from Netflix and now I've been watching Cheers there. But let me tell you, it's Frasier and Seinfeld. For me, Seinfeld, amazing series of all time. It's just, and you watch it today, like I watched it last night in an episode, and it's so. I mean, you have the phones and things, very different things, but it's so up to date in everything that is amazing.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Frasier. I mean, that character came over from Cheers, and that. Very successful one after the show, which was unusual to see that.
Yeah, no, and the way the things and Miles and him, the way the things that they act and how they act, and it's fun. It's
yeah, fun. Exactly. All right, I'm going to ask this question. I'm waiting for someone to answer this question different, but we'll see if that happens. I'm going to keep asking until some favorite holiday of the year.
Oh, okay. You just listen. I have to, which is we celebrate Christmas very big in my house, but it's we actually celebrate the night before Christmas, so it's Christmas Eve. We call it Nochebuena. That's where the Spanish people meet, and I have always for since I got to this country, we always have a big party, and I continue that since in my house, and we have 40, 50 people. Every year, and every year we go and we do something different, right? So I do one is right now the family has continued to grow. So my sister married Puerto Rican, and my My nephew married a Brazilian, and my brother-in-law married a Nicaraguan. So every year we have a different motif, and every year we have different food. So one year is Spanish, one year is Puerto Rican, one year is Cuban.
My mother
complains every single time because she only likes Cuban. So she thinks that you have to eat pork and you have to use, you know, eat yuca and rice and beans every Christmas. Otherwise, it's not Christmas. Right. But, you know, so on the she goes with the rotation again, she complains every year. So we have Spanish like paella, and then we have Puerto Rican things, and we have Nicaraguan, it's one of my favorites, things like that. So Christmas for us, that is a time of family. However, 4th of July, that is coming.
Yeah, you would say, yeah, that's what I was wondering about, yeah.
I see these things, the firework and what it represents, the birth of this country that allows me to be here, to talk to you, to be thing. And let me tell you, for me, it's, 4th of July is the most important I am very big in America and very big on what the American dream is and very big on what it means to people like me around the world that came with nothing, right? And 4th of July.
You, Aaron and Raphael, probably don't remember this because I don't think you were in the country, Raphael, at the time. But Bicentennial in 1976 was huge.
I've seen the videos.
So apparently now they're starting to put the plans in place for the 250th celebration in 2026. So I'm wondering if it's going to be anything like that because it was a very special year for Independence Day. I can tell you that.
I know. I've seen the videos. I had to tell you that those fireworks display and the whole, but it was amazing. So it's something that I really, really, yeah. So I can't wait for that. It's an amazing thing.
Aaron, you were alive for the Bicentennial, right?
I was born that year.
Oh, 1970. Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit! I seem so old, man. It's like,
holy shit. Yeah, no, I was sick that night. Actually, I had like a mild flu at that age, so we didn't get to go out. But even on TV, we got to watch it. So it was really cool. And that was so I'm looking forward to 2026. So
I tell you on Independence Day, I record the one from, you know, I do record the one from New York. I always record the one from DC, which is amazing because you got all the music and you know, things. And so we do a big party in my house every year. And we watch on the beach the fireworks. And the funny thing is here on the beach, you know, people can do their own firework, but then you have the city of Miami, you can see that, and then you can see the city of Hollywood, you can see the city of Fort Lauderdale, so you see all the display on the beach. That is amazing. Then when we finish, everyone goes home, I go to the TV, and I watch all these things that I have taped. And now I can tape a few things. Before it wasn't, so my mom will tape one in her house, my sister will tape one in their house, and I'll go the following day and watch it. But normally I call my mom when we watching together at middle of the night, the one from DC, and the music and the inspiring and the things and America the Beautiful and things. For me, it's an amazing thing.
Very good. Now, you kind of were mentioning this when we were talking about the holiday, but so I got to put you on the spot here. What is your favorite type of cuisine?
Oh, well, I have to tell you. It has changed in the last few years. First, it was French, right?
Right.
But then, you know, I got to know for me, French and Italian. Italian is something that I love, man. I love Italian. I'm going to Italy to take classes. I just love the Italian thing. And then French was my first love for food. But then I discovered Spanish food. And for me right now, I tell you,
Spanish food. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at my Facebook thing, it's a lot about the Spanish, the ham. I can live in two things, which is ham and bread and wine. But that is Spanish ham is an amazing thing. And I keep telling my wife in Spain, by the way, has the people has the longest life expectancy, right? So, and they eat a lot of ham, and they have everything with oil, olive oil. And they say, that must be good for you. That's what I tell myself. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Spanish right now, that's for sure. But I love all type of food. I mean, I fell in love with one time when I started going to Russia, selling cigars. I fell in love with Russian food and the culture and things like that. So I'm a sucker for other cultures, right? I really enjoy it.
Red Square in Vegas, in the Mandalay Bay, has a great Russian restaurant.
I did not know there was a Red Square.
It's called Red Square. There's one in Atlantic City too, but the Red Square is at the Mandalay Bay.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, it's called Red Square. They got an ice bar and everything there. It's a wonderful place.
I've been on the Red Square in Moscow when the snow is coming. Because they used to do like two cigar, like big smoke, in Moscow, and one was in February and one was June. So I was never able to go in June because the IPCPR was very close to it. And so I normally went in February. I've been 4 or 5 times. And let me tell you, very cold, very thin, but it's nothing like being on Red Square. I actually wrote a song, right? Moscow Nights. One of these days I'll send it to you. Moscow yeah. Nights. Because I was there, the snow, the lights, the Kremlin things, the church. The whole music came to me, and it's just unique. So I will look next time I'm there because I love Russian food. I took a lot of classes. It's Viniti, Skaviti Payaosta, Giti Putsitka Yulitsa. Excuse me, can you please tell me how I can find so and so street? I tried to learn because I got lost in Russia, and with Billy Perdomo, Nick Perdomo's brother, we went there. We land in St. Petersburg. We were supposed to land in Moscow, but it was a big storm. So we were going there. We landed from London. We landed in St. Petersburg, and we had to give a talk the following day. We took a train, which is like a 9 to 12 hours train in the middle of a snowstorm. Getting to Moscow, we lost the phone number of the people, and it was just very difficult. So, but a lot of fun.
That's awesome. All right, a couple more here. Your favorite spectator sport to watch?
Well, it's soccer. It's soccer. It's for a long time it looked like very, for me, I couldn't see Washington TV. I thought it was very boring, right? And I will watch on TV football. For me, it was very, very great watching on TV the American football. But then I started going to the stadium on American football, and there are a lot of stopping, a lot of things, and I enjoy it. When I went to the stadium for the first time to see soccer, let me tell you, I fell in love because so much going on, the energy. And so right now, yeah, that soccer is so I follow the European leagues and some of the American league, but I follow the European, especially Spanish one. Real Madrid is my team, and it's just something that I really enjoy.
Very good. All right. Now, you travel a lot. What country have you not visited that you want to go visit?
Well, funny, because I was talking today to my wife about that, because she keeps insisting, where are we going? So we normally take three to four trips outside the United States for vacation a year. And I always want to go to the same place. And she said, no, I always want to go to Italy. I always want to go to Spain. And, it's crazy. So we were just talking about that. We've been to a couple of countries in Africa. But one that we really have enjoyed, we've been to a lot of different places. But one that I would like to visit again, this was a long time, is Tahiti. We were talking about that today.
Oh, wow.
We went for our honeymoon. I should know this, but it's not. I should know this. 21, 22 years ago, we went for our honeymoon in Tahiti. That created a special moment. It was just very nice. So I would like to go there. We're just talking about that today. And then a place that we have in South Africa. I would love to be able to go to South Africa. We were going to go last year, but there was a big drought. And then we ended up going to Australia. And which we had fun, but you know, I still have that. So South Africa, then there's a place there near with the Victoria Falls that we want to visit, and then there's so much great wine. I hear my sister have been several times, and she say the wines are amazing. So we definitely want to do that.
I've heard Aaron won't like this, right? Because he's not a seafood guy. But I heard the South African lobster is fantastic.
It is, and I eat a lot of it.
Yeah,
it is a different flavor.
I haven't had it. Yeah, I've always had the main.
Different flavor, and it's a little sweetener, smaller, and it's just fantastic. As a matter of fact, the first time that I had it, so it's a restaurant in South Beach, Sacra or something like that. I don't remember the actual name right now. But it was funny because when you enter that restaurant, it's like a grass. Actually, inside the restaurant is grass. And then the first time I had it was the South African lobster tail with espresso coffee sauce. By the way, I took my wife when we were dating there, and what an amazing impression. Yeah, so the South African lobster, amazing.
That's awesome. So last question on this segment. You mentioned some of the places you went. You took a very interesting trip that kind of, and I think it was it may have been a year ago, 2 years ago. You went to the Galapagos Islands, right?
Well, actually, last year, October.
Okay, yeah. What was that like?
Well, let me tell you, I was amazing because my wife had been telling me that we should go there for a long time. I've been to Kenya, to the safaris, I've been to all the places. But you know, I'm more of a city type of person and the big cities type of thing. And so my wife had been telling me, and last year we said, no, we're not going to have, normally in October, 14 is my birthday, 7 is her birthday. Normally we take a vacation at that time. And because we had a lot of work, I said, no, we cannot travel now. And then the things open up. And in 1 week, I told my wife, listen, we're going to the Galapagos. And she was outstanding. But one thing that I wanted to go there is because, and it came very handy these days, is because I believe, right, that in that saying that, you know, it's not the strongest or the most intelligent that will survive, but the species that can adapt, right, mm-hmm. and can progress and can do that. And I was in a moment last year, things were happening with the preparing for the sale and preparing for all the things that we were doing. And I said, you know, I think this is timely, so let's go there. Let me tell you, it was an amazing thing, right? I don't want my wife to hear this because then she said, you see, I was right, I will tell you. But it was an amazing thing because I met this fantastic friend of mine now that I told you he's been getting me into the tequilas there and that. I met a chef. We have an amazing relationship now, and seeing all these animals in their habitat and how they have to adapt for me was an amazing experience because it's about life, and I think this moment, right? This moment is that we're going not only in the country as a whole, but with the COVID and everything. I learned there, which is you need to adapt, right? So you need to adapt to the circumstances. And my life has been like adapting. I came from Cuba. I came in, you know, music, healthcare, now cigars. It's all about adapting and reinventing yourself. You know, we talk about the Oliveros Day and about this and that.
Right.
Everything is about adapting and remake yourself. And so to see those animals with so many things and that, that was an amazing experience. I tell you, it's something that I recommend everybody to do once in their lifetime. Of course, when we left there, the country was in turmoil, and there was like a little civil war there.
I was asking about that.
It was Ecuador was doing terrible, and we went through a lot of things. But my experience in Nicaragua, Dominican, and Honduras helped me tremendously, and I was able to leave the country. And some of my friends were there for a week or so. I did prepare it. But again, it's about the evolving and adjusting to the circumstances. And for that, to see those animals, I think I took so many pictures, man. These animals' beauty. It's just timely, you know, these turtles, 100 years old. I mean, give me a break. It's things like that. It's amazing.
Very good, Rafael. Rafael, we did keep you a while. Aaron and I are going to do one more segment. You're welcome to stay, but if you need to go, we're going to talk about the announcement with PCA, what happened with the furloughs. But if you need to go,
I will join you guys. I will stay, yeah.
All right. So I'm just going to talk about that. All right, so I'm going to do the last round of sponsors, and then we'll get into that segment, which will be the last segment. Of course, I want to mention Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust. With Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust, master blender Steve Saka set out to create Puroso and Compromiso, cigars without compromise. This represents an expression of Saka's closely held values and attests in three simple words everything Saka wants to accomplish. Cigars are more than a passion of Saka, they are a way of life. Ask for the brands of Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust, Sobra Mesa, Mi Querida, Umbagog, Muestra de Saca, Todos los Días, and Sin Compromiso with your local tobacconist. And by La Aurora Cigars, in the heart of Santiago, Dominican Republic, on the rolling floor at the La Aurora Cigar Factory is a section reserved only for the elite, the best of the best. These elite cigar rollers work for over 10 years simply to get the opportunity to make a historic cigar. Those cigars are the La Aurora Preferidos. Featuring six different wrappers in a beautifully packaged perfecto shape, La Aurora Preferidos have been the preferred cigar of the Leon family for over 115 years. Take part in a legendary tradition that started the Dominican cigar industry. Look to the lion, La Aurora Cigars. We are Dominican defined. And by J.C. Newman Cigar Company. Founded in 1895 by Julius Caesar Newman, J.C. Newman Cigar Company is the oldest family-owned cigar maker in America. For four generations and 125 years, J.C. Newman has been handcrafting many of the world's finest cigars. J.C. Newman is headquartered in an iconic 109-year-old-plus cigar factory in the Ybor City National Historic Landmark District of Tampa, Florida. At this factory, known as El Rijol, J.C. Newman rolls premium cigars by hand and hand-operated antique cigar machines. The J.C. Newman Pensa factory is the second largest in Nicaragua, and it's where Brickhouse, Perla de Mar, El Baton, and Quorum cigars are hand-rolled. J.C. Newman's Diamond Crown, Maximus, Julius Caesar, and Black Diamond cigars are handmade by Tabacalera A. Fuente in the Dominican Republic. With its longtime partners, the Arturo Fuente family, the Newmans have founded the Cigar Family Charitable Foundation, which supports low-income families in the Dominican Republic with education, healthcare, vocational training, and clean water. Visit jcnewman.com to learn more. And by Casa Cuevas Cigars, the Cuevas family has four generations of experience in cigar making. For many years, they have manufactured cigars for industry leaders at a Las Lavas factory in the Dominican Republic. Now, the Cuevas family has brought their very own brand to market with Casa Cuevas Cigars. Try the Casa Cuevas Connecticut, the Casa Cuevas Habano, the Casa Cuevas Maduro, and La Mandaria, as well as the Cuevas Reserva line. If they don't carry it, be sure to ask your local retailer for Casa Cuevas Cigars. Casa Cuevas Cigars, from our Casa to yours. And finally, by Cigar Marketplace. Cigar Marketplace is the first B2B premium cigar and accessories online broker that connects premium suppliers to retailers, simplifying the way our industry does business. Retailers can now directly order from the suppliers they want without the wait, getting customers the brands they demand. Wholesalers no longer need to depend on going store to store to find a retailer that fits their brand. This allows retailers to enjoy a one-stop shopping experience for all their store needs. With an optional monthly subscription of $39.99, this allows members to benefit from all-order-free shipping, 40% off second-day air rates, a 2.5% cash back every 6 months, refer a friend program, set discount off 10% naked bundles, and exclusive weekly deals and more. Non-members can also take advantage of Cigar Marketplace's deals with free shipping on orders over $750. Visit www.cigarmarketplace.co to learn more. And I just want to mention one more time for folks who may have tuned in late, get in on the Romeo y Julieta giveaway here. Travel Humidor, Torch Lighter. Comment in on the show on the Cigar Coop page, the broadcast, with your first Romeo y Julieta cigar you smoked. Hashtag it RYJ1875. I'll be picking that winner tomorrow. So folks tuned in late or catching it on replay, they can get that. But it has to be on where this stream is going right now. All right, last segment here is the news that came out today on the actually not today, yesterday, the furloughs that have gone on at PCA. And I guess I'll start it off, Aaron. We kind of found out about this around lunchtime. And I was satisfied with the communications we got this time from the PCA on this.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think there was some media members who were left off. That may have been the only problem. But they, for the most part, I was satisfied that they promptly got us on there, and we were able to get the information and get access very quickly to Scott Pierce.
Yeah, and I think they notified the retailers and the exhibitors first, right?
Yep.
And then let us know that they were going to do a media call so that we could kind of discuss it with them, ask questions and things like that. So I think that was pretty good.
I think it was pretty good too. You know, I'll comment on this. This was, I think, very hard for Scott to do this, because Scott was actually one of the guys who was furloughed on this whole thing. Which, were you aware of that when the call started? Because I asked the question. I know I asked the question. I don't know if I missed it or not, that he was one of the guys furloughed. I didn't realize that until I asked him that question point blank.
Yeah, when he said all staff, I assumed that it meant him as well.
I was surprised there wasn't a board member on there. I really was.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, because again, he was kind of having to deliver this message. I would have liked to have had an opportunity to ask board members certain questions on there too. So that was the part that, and like I said, I give him a lot of credit for, he did not have to do that for anybody, considering, you know, that they just basically told him, you know, hey, you're furloughed for a period of time there.
Yep.
So, you know, the reasons we heard were COVID based. What are your thoughts on that in terms of, do you think this was a cost cutting mode directly related to COVID?
I could definitely see that. I mean, without having the trade show, you having a reduced income, for the year, but, you know, I would think that the funding that they currently have would be able to maintain them through the year. So I kind of question that a little bit. I think we'll really determine what the length of the furlough is to see if it's a cost-cutting move or not. I mean, based on what Scott was saying, you know, he's thinking it's a short-term thing. If it's just a few weeks, I don't see how that's really a big cost-cutting
move.
That's
kind of where I was going with that. If you kind of calculate salaries, which you can kind of maybe estimate what it is, right? Even if you go on a high end, I don't see how much they're saving here with a short-term furlough. With this, that's kind of where I'm like, that's a question I would have had maybe for a board member.
Right.
On that, you know, and again, we didn't have a lot of time to prep for that call either. So things were going on the fly. I was kind of, as that thing was going on, I was kind of trying to pull some questions together and think I had more afterwards. And those are some of the questions I had in relation to that, because it was a surprise to me, that, you know, but now the PCA is not operational, at least from a normal standpoint. I don't want to say they're, you know, the board is stepping in and they're going to be taking on certain responsibilities in the short term, but it led a lot of questions like, you know, obviously this thing's going on with, you know, they're saying there's a trade show next year. That was one of the things they said. There was an email that went out last week saying people had to go validate their booths again. And now suddenly the staff's going to be gone as of the 15th. The staff sounds like they're still working another week at least.
Right.
So that part was a little puzzling to me as well on that.
Did they mention they called Will and Aaron? Did they mention the people or small or manufacturers that have put money down for the booth? What happened with that? Was that an answer? Was that something that they addressed or not?
They had addressed that. They sent out an email the end of last week saying that if you had a deposit, it was rolling over to next year.
Got it.
There was some, I don't know the answer if you're not going to the show next year, if they refund your money. That I don't know. I had seen one report say yes, but there was nothing in that email saying if you don't renew, They're not refunding your money. I mean, that's a normal thing from what I understand with trade shows and these types of things, where if something is canceled, they typically do roll the money over, as opposed to issuing, refunding everyone and having them reapply again. The other thing that they said, Raphael, in terms of that, was that the trade show floor layout was going to be basically the same. So you were going to have the same, the 2021 layout was going to be what the 2020 layout at least was.
Right. That seems big, right?
Yeah, that is big. So my question, Aaron, to you, what do you think this means short term and long term right now, over to both of you? This is a pretty significant announcement, I think, that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how much planning is necessary now to get ready for the trade show for next year. Because I know that's a big bulk of the work. So if they don't really have anything to do in regards to the trade show, since it's still pushed out another year, in the short term, it might not really mean that much. But in the long term, it's another hit for the organization. They just keep taking the hits. I mean, the reason we're canceling the trade show this year, wasn't under their control. It was going to happen regardless. So you can't really put that necessarily on them. But if they're able to just kind of roll all the plans that they had for this year into next year, there's a lot less planning that needs to happen now to kind of regenerate all that work for another trade show. So I think in the long term, there's going to be a lot of questions in regards to, how the board came to this decision, see how long the furloughs are for. If it's a short term, it wasn't really that much of a cost cutting move. So what was the reason for doing it? So I'm just wondering if it's going to drive more people to ask questions, especially of the board, because I know that's where a lot of the, discontent is around how the board is kind of managing things, and whether the staff actually can do what they need to do without kind of being handcuffed a bit by what the board's choosing to do. So I'm hoping that what comes from this is that those questions are asked, the board has to answer them or, become a bit more responsible for that. And people will get more of a voice. Maybe they can shake up the board a bit. I'm not sure, how many seats were planned to be changing this year, to see if maybe they change what the structure of that looks like. So that maybe more of the retailers, more of the manufacturers get a chance to kind of be part of that group.
Yep. Christine Morgan, who is the person who is in charge of all this, has some comments here. I'm going to read them. Balances are transferred to 2021 and booth rates are locked in. The floor plan will remain the same and people will have the opportunity to move should they want to. And it takes about 14 months to plan the show. There's a lot of work that needs to happen in the months moving forward. So that's that last comment she made is a very telling thing. We're in that 14, we're well into that 14-month window of the planning already. So concern of mine that, that this is happening. On top of, I think there's a whole piece with the SE piece coming in that I think they were doing a lot of work to prepare retailers and members to kind of give them guidance to navigating through this SE world. Mm-hmm. And what that means. So I think this is they picked a very interesting time to do this. I get it's summer and all that, but it isn't like there's things that aren't going on either.
Right. Yes, yeah, so we'll see. I mean, how long it runs.
Yeah. Raphael, let me ask you a question. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since the since things have changed, obviously, with Altidus right now. What is Altidus? I mean, what is Altidus looking at for 2021? Is there a chance that you guys would return to the show?
There has been no decision about that, right?
Okay.
So our company made very clear that we were just not attending the 2020. So if the circumstances changes and things changes, I'm sure the company will look at different ways, right, to do it. Because we're dedicated to the retailers. That's not the issue, right? So, but circumstances have to change. But this is definitely a difficult position. I mean, for these employees, but they work very hard.
Sure.
Tremendous. they have the tremendous dedication, right? And especially, you know, Scott just came into the middle of all this. It's very, I mean, you have to feel very bad for this guy, right? Which is very approachable and you know, things like that. Yeah, but in our case, it's, you know, we'll make the decision when that comes, when that decision has to be made, and then we'll see, right?
Yep. Yep. I mean, the they've been, I mean, look, the PCA, they have a tough job. They take it on the chin a lot. It isn't easy to kind of keep this whole membership base happy. I mean, they've been, for the most part, I think, yeah, there's been, Aaron and I have talked about some of the communication pitfalls, right? In the end, I've still had very good access to everyone on that staff that I've asked for. You know, mainly if it's Scott or Christine, you know, the two I probably know the best. I've always gotten answers and things like that and responsiveness. So I'm okay. You know, I get things aren't perfect sometimes. And yeah, we complained, I think, how the cancellation thing went out. But in general, I still see a responsiveness on this from them.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, to me, it's like we were discussing about the trip to the Galapagos, right? And everything goes to time changes, and you have to evolve and you have to adapt. The answer is always adapt, right? So trade shows in general have been having a tough time in recent time, right? So a definition of what you do and how you do it, and it has to make for our companies and for everybody, it has to make financial, you know, at the end, you know, we all love to get together, right, and enjoy it ourselves and the camaraderie, and that, you know, it's a celebration and all those things. But at the end, we do have responsibility to manage the business as a business, right? It has to make sense that it has to be. So the only way I see it is evolving and changing and adapting and going back to the Galapagos trip. So it's all part of the evolution of life and business and times that do change. And I think organizations, just like our company, like your business, like any other business, has to evolve.
Yeah.
And that's what it has to happen. There's no doubt about it.
I agree. Aaron, I won't put Raphael on the spot with this question if he wants, but I'll ask Aaron this one, though. Aaron, do you think there's a trade show next year?
I think it's iffy. I think it's probably iffy that TPE happens just because of, you know, how the COVID things are still happening.
Right.
I'm not sure. I know you're very, very confident that it's happening.
I think it's happening.
Has that changed now?
No. Okay. I think this board will find a way to put this show on.
Okay.
I don't think they, I mean, because I'm looking at the reality of the revenue situation. If they're going to survive, they can't have two trade shows in a row miss. So unless it's, unless COVID is just going to be a nightmare into 2021, I can't see it being canceled. I mean, right. I think they have to. So now they're going to have challenges. Like if Christine's saying it's a 14-month window, we're already into 2 months of that window. There's concern. And they'll be, you know, especially if the staff who's been doing this for a while isn't involved. What that, you know, if I'm hoping they'll be more involved as soon as possible and back to work on this would be my feeling. It's going to be tough on them, you know, because they lost, you know, I'm sure there's project schedules that they have on this and all that. So, yeah. But I'm still confident that I think they go forward with the show because I don't think they have, if they don't have that revenue come in next year, that's a big problem.
Right. What's your estimate on how long you think the furloughs last?
They didn't say anything, right? They didn't give a time.
No, I asked the question to Scott on will we see them back before Labor Day, and he was kind of hoping that would be the case, and I think he'd be very concerned. It sounded like he would be concerned if it's not the case. I mean, if they're not back at work at Labor Day, it is going to be a big problem, and I don't know. I really don't have I don't understand what the board's contingency plan is going to be for operating the next, you know, few weeks. I mean, you know. Again, I question what they're saving here. Right. You know, are they going to bite themselves long term by not having the staff there who, you know, who works very hard? So I'm, like I said, but I'm gonna still put my money on it as a trade show next year. I'm gonna keep my, unless COVID changes the game. Then if you know COVID could change the game, I'm hoping that that's not the case.
Yeah.
Rafi, I got one more question for you in on all this. This one is for you. You know, I see a lot of things, right, on social media more. And it's always that the Big Four, right, is in favor of regulation, right? And to be honest with you, I haven't seen I go back and I'm like, I haven't seen any evidence of this, right? And I keep saying, if someone says that, to present me with some evidence. And I go back to the comments that Altidus submitted last summer.
Right.
That were very clear that you had very clear your stance on SE.
Absolutely.
So I want to kind of give you the floor to this, whatever you can say on that, because I've asked for people to demonstrate that to me who have been the critics, and I haven't been able to get an answer, okay, other than they just believe that.
Well, you know, and that is a complete misunderstanding or a myth, right? That the big companies, and I cannot speak for any of the other big companies. I can speak for our company. Javier, which is the chairman of the CAA, Cigar Association of America, has been tremendously dedicated. He's been the chairman for four years, I think.
Right.
Fifth year is the longest one, the chairmanship of all the history of the organization.
Right.
Has been dedicated to the premium cigar industry. And as me, as I can tell you for myself, because when I served on the IPCPR on the advisory board, the first one that they created, I they asked me to participate, and the same thing that I feel is what Altidus feel, which is, listen, we believe that it shouldn't be any regulations on the premium cigars, but if you're going to regulate us, you better regulate us as premium cigars and not like cigarette or other products, right? So what people misunderstand, I think, is that we are right now under regulations.
Yes, that's important to know, yes.
You know, so people listen to that, you know, we're fighting, we lost that part, we fought very hard, and we continue to fight that part. But in the meantime, we are being regulated. So if we are being regulated, I think we have a duty to tell, to show them, to educate the regulators why you shouldn't regulate me like you do to the other
right. tobacco.
And that, I think, is a responsibility that all companies have. And it's very easy to say, well, you know, family companies, and we're not family things. And listen, we have a lot of families in our business, you know. For anyone that knows me, my family is my business. And all our employees are families. We use a family business with a lot more families than some other businesses. We believe that if we're going to be regulated, it has to be a regulation that address our unique needs of our industry. And I think and that's what the misunderstanding is. No, we don't believe in that. But if you are regulating me, there's nothing bad by talking to the regulators and showing them why this cigar is different and why and what goes into making the cigar. Our company have dedicated a lot of money and a lot of resources and a lot of time. Personally, I've done a part of this company to show the Congress, to show the politician, to show the administration why, and the regulators, why our products are different, right? And so that's something that I feel extremely difficult, even when talking to some fellow people in the industry that says, no, you want regulations based on what? You know, it's easy, and it's easy to say, right? So you blame the big companies because of being regulated,
right?
No, we don't. We don't want, and listen, every single thing that we have put, either the CAA or Altidus on their own, the position that we have, whenever they have asked for information, we have been very clear.
Right.
We believe that our product shouldn't be regulated. But again, if you regulate me, let me tell you that what you're doing is not correct. Let me show you why this product is different, right? The craftsmanship, the different and the changes of tobaccos and things like that. So that's something I feel very bad, right? So that people have said that, and some people do believe it, right? And it's there's never one. That's me. And the second is that we don't spend any money on saving the industry, you know. And I say, you think a big company is not going to spend money to save their industry, and other small company doesn't spend more? This just doesn't make any sense. We do, and we spend a lot of money in regulation, trying to fight this regulation. A lot more, yeah, according to the size that we are, and that should be. Right. The way, right? But those two things are very difficult, that we don't fight the regulations, and we are in favor of regulations. Nothing can be further from the truth. And listen, before this, well, because you have mass market companies, well, we are a premium company. We've always been a premium division. Now we are
That's going to be the focus and core competency. Yeah.
But even within that, you know, I can tell you Javier has fought extremely. I cannot tell you how many times we have met with the Congress and the key people and tell our story of what the cigar shouldn't be regulated. But if you're going to regulate me, let's regulate in a way that makes sense. Not only for us as a big company, for everybody, because the cigars are very unique.
Very good. All right. I think we've, Rafael, I know we kept you very late. Hopefully you got the smoke, which is good.
Got to smoke, I got to drink, and I am not working tomorrow. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Definitely. Unless you're going to be tasting buns tomorrow, then that's work.
Right? Well, no, that's always, that's, you know, work 24 hours on that, but then.
No, Rafael, we do want to very much thank you very much, taking the time as always. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Yep.
I know I'll see you soon.
We will see you soon. Hopefully here in Florida soon. Will and Aaron, thank you very much. It's always great to be with you guys. Listen, cigars are my passion, but I know it's your passion, and we have made our life work. To do it in different ways, you do it, and taking a fantastic education to the people, the consumers and retailers, that a lot of retailers listen to these things, and we have make it by making cigars. So it's a great combination, and in addition, we have fun doing this. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it, Rafael. Mentioned next week, primetime episode 146. Glenn Case makes his debut on the show from Christoph Cigars. You're not going to want to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you still have a chance to get in on the RYJ giveaway. But anyway, that's going to wrap up primetime episode 145 into the annals of history for Thursday, July 2nd. Now, Friday, July 3rd on the East Coast. Happy Independence Day to everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see everybody next week.
See you guys.
Thank you, guys. See you. Cheers.
Take care.